Hello and welcome to the Tip TV Finance Show, where it is Tuesday, the 16th of May, 10 a.m, and I'm joined by Eddie Tofbeck, who is head of FX at ADM Investor Services International. How are you today, Eddie?
Not too bad, but it's a tad humid out there at the moment.
Well, this is fierce heat, May heat that we have here in London. First question is euro dollar through $101.10. Is that a surprise to you?
No, true and righteous thing. It's going the right way in the right direction, I think, at the moment.
Okay, so the Macron phenomenon, the axis of
Macron,
France.
Macron. I overheard somebody say that every time they heard him on the radio or on the TV in France, and he was an English person, he just kept hearing the word mackerel. But you know, I'm not going to besmirch the president of the great Republic of France.
No,
he's a good man. He's got a tough job ahead of him, and good luck with it.
Impossible task, some might say. But let's have a look at the most popular in business and finance today.
Yeah.
Hot news, UK inflation has risen to 2.7% in April compared to 2.3% in March, according to the ONS. CPI, PPI and RPI, all higher than expected, but not much of a reaction.
Not as such, but I think you've got to realise at some point, I think the Bank of England, Governor Carney, is going to be start sharpening that pencil, putting a new refin into the pen, maybe writing a new letter for the upside, because it looks like it's going to carry on a little bit with commodity prices going stronger.
But isn't this just a hangover from the weaker pound, and the pound's got a bit stronger now?
Yeah, so it's a lagging effect in that respect as well. But we've had a stronger pound, but it's only been in the last 2-3 weeks that we've had that. Up to then, we've had a weaker pound after the flash crash.
Right, and the pound hardly reacted after that. I think it peaked below 129.60, presumably on the basis that the market doesn't believe that Mark Carney is going to raise interest rates.
Well, I think it's 130 is a psychological level that everybody's sort of going, you know, there'll be stops above it, but are we strong enough to trigger those just yet? That's just the thinking, I think, more than anything else.
Okay, let's go on to the next slide, which Trump revealed intelligence secrets to the Russians in the Oval Office, according to two officials, but the White House denies allegations. What's wrong with the revealing of the old secret here and there? It's all part of the detente.
Really? No. First off, we don't know if it actually happened. The four people who were there, with exclusion of the Russians, have said we didn't actually hear anything like that. And these are two, so they've obviously got corroboration, there must be strong corroboration, where I think it's the Washington Post published this. So I don't know what's
going
on.
They've got good form of these things, haven't they?
Yes, but that was like a good, 40 years ago?
Yeah, but they've got, that's what I'm saying, they've got experience in that wiretapping.
Everybody's got an agenda.
Okay, let's go on to the next situation. So I just mentioned this, obviously, it's 6-month high in the euro, the best level since the US presidential election. So joy and happiness regarding
I think it's still
situation.
A relief from the French elections that's going through. Plus, we've gone over the first real steps for prior to the summer. Greece, Italy too has been put to the back burner as well. Netherlands, France, Brexit seems to be, for some people, going ahead okay. So it's a stronger euro we're seeing. And then we've got later on in the year, we've got the German ones. And in that particular instance, it looks like with what's happened with North Rhine-Westphalia, that the Chancellor Merkel's party is going to be doing pretty well.
And I think Trump didn't like the level of the euro either a few months or weeks ago, suggesting that...
Yeah, but I mean, he may have changed his mind by now.
Okay. Next up, we've got the economic calendar, EU GDP, housing starts and building permits in the US. Yeah. I think too dramatic, I think.
No, I think, you know...
Slightly more dramatic, though, is FX sentiment powered by Oanda's clients, where they are long up to the eyeballs of silver and pretty long up to long of gold as well, which seems to be buying a little bit now, in fact, but very short of sterling and dollar CAD, short, of course, of euro dollar, which was one of the reasons why I was guessing that it would break 110, and it has, and then long of the Aussie dollar, which is a brave move, I think, in the current climate.
Yes, but it is sort of like stabilizing at the moment after its recent drop. Interesting about the dollar-yen that it's split 50-50, basically, whereas we're basically moving towards a higher level for that one still, though it's not the most exciting of markets.
Okay, going on to Asia Dollar Index, from supplied by Investors Intelligence, not a market I've seen before, but the Asia Dollar Index develops a bullish point and figure breakout at 105.76, with a price objective of 107.04 and stop loss at 105.04. So take your pick on that.
Sounds reasonable.
It does, indeed. And then trade of the day, I'm not sure whether I would be brave enough to go short of a house builder, anytime soon, but this is the TIP TV trade of the day. Barclay Group Holdings, rising wedge reversal, bearish divergence, which I can see. So if you agree with that, sell around £33.30, objective £32.17, and stops above £33.65. So I suppose it's a reasonable risk-reward play. Moving along to Eddie's homework.
Yes, Eddie's crayons. Looking at that, as you can see, I put an X in there where I thought this very ragged bullish flag, which we had from April, may potentially top out around about the 111.25 area. And there's still a possibility for a reverse head and shoulders. Now, the target for that would be something like 112.75 or something, 112.50. I haven't put it on there yet because I'm not convinced of it at this particular moment. But looking at it, it's still carrying on that right way. The next area is a resistance around about 110.80, 111 even. And then we've got the first target area. Support underneath the market. There's a whole... I mean, it's a mess under the chart. That's why it looks like there's a whole load of support. You've got Fibonacci support, long moving average, medium moving... I just name it. And there's a load of stuff all underneath it. And there's not very much above it.
Okay. Let's go on to the next market, euro sterling, which has maybe surprised people with the strength here.
Well, we had the fill of the gap we saw on a breakout a few weeks ago, and now we're moving up. But then we're running into that resistance, which is going to be 85.52 up to the 85.95 area, which is a combination of moving averages and Fibonacci. So we're running into that area. There's a little bit of juice still left in that move on the upside, but it'd be very, very interesting if we get above 8600. It could potentially move back up to 8720 or something like that, a fairly rapid movement.
Right, so an overall double bottom or basic...
Overall, it's still heading back down, though if you take an even longer look, you've got to look and see the situation. We've got higher lows and lower highs. So what are we doing? We're really longer term, basically still travelling sideways, and that's what the moving averages are telling you.
Okay, and on to everyone's favourite.
Well, the two circles, the one I missed by 2 days, which we had the discussion about last time. Well, the next one, I think, is on actually the bank holiday. It's the 29th of May, I think. If I'm wrong again by 2 days, I mean, you've got to look something like about the 27th of May or 25th of May for some potential action to happen. But you've got a lot of resistance above the market now, 130.60, 131.20. But there's nothing really beyond that till about 132.5. So I'd be very interested to see how that happens. Some people have been arguing this whole action from October is a type of reverse head and shoulder. It would tie in with the euro dollar. But I don't think necessarily it will, because this is the flash crash which has gone off the screen at on the left-hand side there. That, the shoulder, it distorts it too much. And I don't think necessarily that's valid. Though I do think that the ascending Andrews Pitchfork, that's quite good. I've kept the shift one on, even though it's been corrupted. Just give an idea of where the market is.
All right, and this is you're not really of the view that let's say, you know, this is going to gap up with some news on interest rates or something like that through 132.
I think we've had enough gaps for this year, don't you think?
I think you're absolutely right.
I think, you know, don't want to be doing gaps in a currency that trades 24 hours around the clock. And the only time you have a gap is probably at a weekend.
Well, still, the one on the euro was unbelievable.
Yeah, well, it was, as opposed to the fact we've actually seen ones back in the old days like that. And it's been a while since we've seen that, but it's nice to teach people that these sort of things do actually happen in the market. Gaps do happen.
Okay, well, Eddie Tofpick, head of FX at ADM Investor Services, thank you very much for opening the TIP TV Finance Show today.
Thank you very much indeed.